Welcome to Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women where seasoned Naomis nurture young roots with real scriptural food for the spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table.
Well, ladies, welcome to Naomi's Table. I'm Amy Spreeman, along with my co-hostess, Nancy LeMay. Hey, Nancy.
Hey.
Hey, you know, ladies, we're going to be taking on a couple of different topics this week. And today what we're going to do is focus a little bit on, you know, this booming business of essential oils. And we're just going to scratch the surface, but we're going to throw some things out there for you to consider and wonder, is there anything spiritual to essential oils? Well, I believe that in themselves, they're probably not real harmful or anything like that, but some are actually twisting their use to mean something else. And for the Christian, we need to talk about that. So that's what we're going to do today.
And we're also going to be in our daily Bible study. Connie Stanfield's going to be here in a little bit with Amy to give us another lesson in 1 Peter. And then following that, Amy and I will see what's the best thing we can take from that to really apply to our lives.
You know, ladies, all of our Bible studies are right on our webpage, naomistable.com/Bible studies. There's a tab there. You can just go ahead and find that. And we've got these 10-minute podcasts that you are able to use to your heart's content. We've got old, new, all sorts of them there. And, you know, the ones in 1 Peter are being developed every single day. So follow along with us. You can download the study guides. And many of you are doing that. I've been talking to a lot of you who, you know, you email them out, you get together and you discuss these. And some of you are doing them on your own. That's fine too. We just ask that you just let us know if you have any questions. You can connect with us at connect@naomistable.com. Well, Nancy, one of the reasons that we chose this topic today, there was an article done by a group called the Sola Sisters, and they wrote an article titled The Christian and Essential Oils. So we're going to be linking that up today, and actually it's already on our website. You can go take a look at that. And I shared that because, you know, a few months ago I discovered that I had this this little small reddish patch on each of my wrists, and when those didn't go away, and we were kind of joking around, Nancy said, "Oh, it looks just like stigmata." No, it's not that. They didn't go away. Nobody really knew what they were. So I asked a pharmacist to recommend something, and she did. But she said, you know, use this antifungal cream that she had there. But the ointment that I purchased really didn't do anything. So a couple of my friends said, put some tea tree oil on there and then a little clove oil and keep rubbing it in. You'll be fine. Well, two things are happening right now. First, my spots are beginning to fade a little bit, which is really cool, because I've had this since January. And secondly, it smells really good in my office. I smell like a candle, so it's pretty neat. But, you know, a lot of women are buying and using and even getting into the business of selling essential oils these days. And I know a lot of you use them, too. Seems to me that a growing number of them are bringing in a spiritual element, and that's the part I want to talk about. It has me concerned a little bit, Nancy, because some are convinced that oils applied in strategic spots on your skin or in your home can actually manipulate energy centers that will heal your spirit. Well, that right there should really be a red flag for any Christian believers who don't ascribe to that kind of thing. Any spiritual element to oils is not the spirit of God, but the spirit of the age, and really more bluntly, the new age. And we're going to look at some scriptures today about that and hear your thoughts. A lot of you weighed in on that article. Some of it you'll hear gets into heathen divination and spiritism. Obviously, as Christian women, we want to avoid that. Now, I will say that the oils in and of themselves, completely inert, there's nothing spiritual about them. It's not going to, you know, harm you spiritually if you use them for physical things. So again, we're not going in that direction. And God really has provided for our needs in nature, hasn't he?
He has. And for instance, I was going through a phase where I had trouble sleeping at night. Mm-hmm. So I would take a little lavender oil, and I think I might have had some chamomile oil in there too, and I'd rub it on my wrist and I'd give it a good big strong whiff, maybe even rub a little under my nose there before I'd go to bed. And it would relax me. It would calm down my body. Well, there's an actual physiological thing going on there, a reaction. There is a, when you smell lavender, there is a physiological thing in your brain, and I don't know the words for it. I don't know if it's serotonin being released or what's happening in there. I just know it is a physiological reaction.
That's funny you mentioned lavender is relaxing, because a friend of mine has horses, and she has a horse, and her daughter does the showing of them and everything, and whenever they get a horse that gets agitated there, they take a little bit of that lavender and they put it under its nose so it can smell it, and it calms the horse down. So really interesting there. But again, that's physiological. That's not spiritual. So good distinction to make there. I do think as Christians, we need to ask ourselves a couple of questions. When do using these and manipulating things cross the line? Should we be discounting the medical treatments for the promises of these oils? You know what? I think that there are, you know, good physiological. I mean, you know, these oils do kind of clear up skin conditions and that kind of thing, make your house smell good. Here's another thing, though. You know, there's a financial piece to this. There's a couple of these are actually part of pyramid schemes. Really not into that, because that's designed to put the focus on how much cash you can make off others and manipulate people into selling oils under you. I mean, pyramid schemes, unapologetically, I really don't like those. I don't think they honor God very much. But again, nothing wrong with earning a dollar or two selling something if that's your income. If you're dabbling and dabbing for any spiritual or, you know, that kind of thing, please just listen to what we're saying about this, because the spiritual part of it is that's, I believe, when it crosses the line. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Just going back to a couple of things you were saying, though. First of all, on the pyramid thing, it's technically called multi-level marketing.
Yes.
Now, there are pyramid schemes like Bernie Madoff or whatever, and there are pyramid types of marketing, like, for instance, let's say Avon products.
Or okay? Amway or things
Amway
like that.
Or Amway or anything like that, or Mary Kay or anything like that. I actually sell Avon products, and they are constantly sending you notices, recruit people to sell Avon. And the reason why is that these companies need new people constantly signing up, because some people are dropping off and they need new people signing up to sell the products in order to be profitable. And I ignore them all because I'm just not interested in that. But if you do sign up these new recruits, you actually get a percentage of everything they sell. And then if they sign up more recruits under them, you get a percentage of your recruits' recruits. And so it goes.
So
and
it
eventually
goes,
you can get into the management levels with this. There is nothing wrong with that. That's not what we're talking about. But sometimes with these less reputable companies, it requires huge financial investment from the people you recruit. And it's almost like you are, in effect, recruiting them almost to a cult. And
that's where the emphasis is.
Yeah. So that is one thing that you do have to be careful of. You know, another thing, too, is that there are some great uses for essential oils. You had talked about how, you know, our bodies certainly are fearfully and wonderfully made, and there are physiological reactions going on. You talked about your tea tree oil that you use on your wrist. Well, guess what? Tea tree oil is an antifungal.
Yep, and that's probably
what it is. So as an antifungal, it was probably a fungus. You came home from your cruise with it when you were in the Caribbean.
That's what it is.
And so you could have picked up some kind of little fungal thing while you were on the cruise or on one of the islands you were visiting, and the tea tree oil is actually killing that fungus and causing it to fade.
Yeah, well, and sometimes, you know, you look at the pharmaceutical industry, even aspirin came from a tree. So again, but we can get into that too in a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about this article. It's titled The Christian and Essential Oils, A Few Thoughts. And it starts out this way. It says, "For those Christians who haven't heard, essential oils are big business, big, big business. Make no mistake, essential oils are the hottest thing going since yoga invaded the church a decade ago. One of the largest and most well-known of these essential oil companies is Young Living. Now, Young Living sells its products through multi-level marketing, a pyramid form of selling that works through networking, such as like Amway and Juice Plus and Pampered Chef, Herbalife, and Mary Kay. If you happen to be one of the few that hasn't yet heard about essential oils, just wait. One day soon, your Facebook inbox will blow up with invitations to this or that essential oils home party. If you choose to attend one of these parties, you might learn some useful tips for making, you know, nice smelling homemade cleaning products or cosmetics with essential oils. But you might also be exposed to some very unbiblical concepts about sin, sanctification, and illness. And the author goes on to say, before I go any further, let me first state clearly, we're not concerned with the use of essential oils in foods, cosmetics, and cleansers. We also view essential oils to be, in and of themselves, spiritually neutral. By that we mean Christians can use them with a clean conscience and a right understanding of man, nature, God, physical versus spiritual healing, etc. But we do also want to warn that some EO, and that's essential oil, companies and distributors, such as Young Living in particular, which was founded by a professing Christian named Gary Young, use, sell, promote, and teach about EOs using New Age and New Thought concepts and spirituality, specifically in the areas of sin, sanctification, and illness, and concepts that are clearly counter to what the Bible teaches on these things. And she goes on to write, now, the area of alternative treatments in general, a tricky one to navigate, as we don't have any desire to throw out all alternative treatments as being bad or unbiblical. She writes, what we do want is to give a clear warning about the danger that we do see about how some alternative products are marketed, since many of our readers will probably come into contact with some of this thinking. So again, Nancy, that's where we're at, and they list a couple of concerns that they had.
Yeah, they said they're concerned with when essential oils or any other alternative treatments are marketed as having spiritual benefits that should only be ascribed to God. They are concerned that they think clear warnings are really needed about the alternative treatment industry on the whole. It is almost entirely unregulated. Now, I happen to think that's not necessarily a bad thing, because let me tell you, if you are trusting the FDA to keep you safe, you got another thing coming. If you've watched any TV, you have no doubt noticed how many different 1-800 bad drug commercials there are. Those are all drugs that were approved for efficacy and for also safety by the FDA. The other thing to keep in mind is we have so many ingredients in our food system that have been banned in Europe.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Things like GMOs, or the blue and yellow and red food dyes, or this bromo something or other that only its only purpose is to maintain uniform color in drinks like Gatorade. And guess what? I think it's a petroleum product.
Oh.
So the FDA has approved all of those sorts of additives for food use. And all of them are known to be dangerous, known to be carcinogens, and known to just totally disrupt the human endocrine system and immune system. And that's why Europe bans them. But gee, here in this country, because Monsanto has deep pockets and other companies also have a lot of lobbying power.
Yeah.
They're allowed to have these things there. So don't, just because it's not really regulated, that's not necessarily a bad thing, although you do want to have some assurance that the products you're using are safe.
I definitely would recommend doing some research on those things and you know, check your trust level if we're trusting. And obviously, now here's the thing. Here at Naomi's Table, we don't encourage people to think of healthcare as extending our days. God has that all figured out. He knows the end of our days. So what we're trying to do is talk a little bit about health, but in a way that really uses wisdom and discernment. discernment. Before we go on with the article, Nancy, I do want to go to a couple comments that came in from our fine ladies over at our G Plus group. Prudence got in and said, this is such a hot button topic. I do use essential oils, and I have the desk reference book, which is the which has the spiritual side in. And my first thought was, how could people fall for that, that an oil would help you forgive or let go of anger? But there is no question in the world of natural alternative health, it is a fine line. And I've asked myself, how far do I go with this? In the organic, non-GMO, non-vax crowd, the New Age spiritual side seems to have embraced wholeheartedly there in those realms. And I find myself constantly on guard to what I'm doing or allowing my kids to be exposed to. And so, and she goes on, but you know, she's got some really, really good points there. Whenever we try to do something good that's spiritually fine, I mean, you know, it's inert, it's not doing anything, and Christians are fine doing it. The New Age crowd seems to be right there to glom onto it and change things around.
It's interesting because when you look at the potential for these things to be twisted, absolutely it's there, without a doubt. But they do have some definite benefits.
Yeah.
And when you look at those definite benefits, you know, it's almost like, okay, well, how are you explaining how those benefits are occurring? Are you explaining it by saying there's something New Agey going on, some spirit thing going on, or are you explaining it by saying there's a physiological thing going on?
Well, it'd be really easy to discern if somebody said, well, this is a New Age product. You know, then I could say, well, no, thank you. That's not how it comes, though.
No.
It's usually a lot more sly than that. We should probably talk a little bit about the extremes of some of these, because here's how Gary Young, in this article, CEO of Young Living, he's a Christian man, he says, and he says, here's a product, surrender negativity and unconscious manipulation. And so, and he says, disease is nothing more than manipulation, because disease creates control and gives you power over everyone around you. So then surrender, create energy of giving it up, surrender that attachment, surrender that control. And interesting, the article says, well, in my note, this is not biblical because of disease, which is that disease is a result of the fall, the sin in the Garden of Eden. And this view is more in keeping with Taoism.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at how these things are portrayed and manipulated. Who is the one person, one thing we need to be surrendering control to?
God.
Yes.
Christ.
Now, if you surrender control of your life to God, then yes, indeed, you will see some benefits from that.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily going to be physical benefits.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he talks about the thorn in his side, and
yeah,
he says, three times I asked God to remove it, and three times God said no. And the reason why is God said, because my grace is sufficient for you, mm-hmm, and besides that, my power is greater in your weakness. And of course, what that means is that, hey, when you're weak, you get the heck out of the way and let me use you for my purposes. So
yeah,
that is indeed what we're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
When it comes to surrender, it doesn't mean automatically that you're going to be healed. But you know what? That verse brings up a very good point. Who is it who heals us?
Well, it's God, ultimately.
It's not an oil.
No.
It's not a supplement you're taking. It is not any exercise you're doing. It is not anything you're doing. Those things have absolutely no impact on you, no power on you at all. It is only God. Now, God did create everything, and we are finding, day by day, we're finding such amazing properties in the plants, in the herbs, in all of these things that God created, that were created for man. So you need to understand that when God called everything good after he was done on that sixth day, that's I think what's meant,
yeah,
is that everything was good, everything was perfect, everything was going to be be there working great, smooth, and then the fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, ladies. Again, as Nancy put it, you don't need an oil to remove your sin. You need Christ to do that. You need throwing yourself at his mercy and asking for forgiveness, and he so graciously washes you clean. You know, but at the extreme side of these oils, here's one about frankincense where this Gary Young says, as you are diffusing transformation, and by the way, where do we get transformation?
From Christ.
Yes. Okay. So
Holy Spirit.
So this oil apparently is called transformation in frankincense. It will also stimulate the receptors in the limbic system and open up a pineal gland. You'll start having feelings and thoughts, and maybe you'll even see a dream state, ideas or visions of what can happen in your life. We continue through these five secrets for more energy oils. We come to a third chakra, otherwise known as the fire chakra. You know, I'm going to stop reading there. There's so much more here, but this is so popular. You know, if you're into chakras, that is completely new age. That has nothing to do with biblical Christianity and everything to do with, I'm just going to say it, sorcery. That's just new ageism. Let's see what the Bible has to say about that. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14 says, when you come into the land the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who turns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices sorcery or divination, anything like that. There's so many Bible verses, ladies. We're going to read quite a few more. But this one goes on to say, anyone who tells fortunes or interprets omens or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer, or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you.
Yeah, I think back to, I believe it was Dave Wager, who is one of the frequent guests that you have on, on the other show that you participate in, Stand Up for the Truth. Which is a great show. If you don't listen, everybody should.
Thank you, Nancy.
But he talked about how he began to feel, and I do believe this is kind of along those lines of, we think, oh, well, I'm not going to fall prey to that. I'm not going to get involved in being a medium or in sorcery or in witchcraft or something like that. But many times when we start taking certain supplements that promise certain benefits, or we start exercising, we start doing these things, we feel strong. And all of a sudden, we feel like we are in total control of our health. Well, I believe that when we believe we're the ones that have the power over our health, that is in effect a form almost of witchcraft, because it is control of the natural environment through means other than God.
Yes. I want to go back to our G+ group where Lisa wrote in, and this is very disturbing, but she shared this story with us before, so I think it'll be okay to share this. She says, I very much appreciate the balanced approach. Before I knew the Lord, I was trained as a massage therapist, and before we even started to actually do massage, we had to learn about these energies, and I had to become very involved in much of the Eastern mysticism that is masqueraded as holistic medicine here in the West. There is a balance to all things, and I do find there to be some legitimate practices in the holistic health realm, but at what cost? We are easily led astray. Yes, we are, Lisa. Thank you very much for writing about that, and she has shared that before. And then Keiko writes, you know, this isn't really new to me, but I think it is new to the mainstream. For decades, my parents have been making oils and saying that they offer protection from evil if you wear them, etc. So, yeah, a lot of us have had experience in this.
So let me just look at a few verses of where our healing and our health does come from. Jeremiah 17, 14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Psalm 103, 2-4, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. And I love this one too. 3 John 1, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Now, there's a piece of advice. If you want to be healthy, make sure that your soul is healthy and that you are in an intimate, close relationship with Jesus. And Amen. You are learning more and more about him.
That's one of the reasons that we do this program, Nancy, because I think a lot of us, especially as women, I know men do too, but especially as women, we want so much to provide healthful alternatives to, for our family to eat. We want to make sure our kids are healthy. We want to make sure that we're following the Lord and doing things religiously that that are religious. But you know what? The thing we have forgotten is that with all of the voices out there telling us to eat that or take this, we need to be in the Word of God. And that's why we do Naomi's Table, to bring us all back around a table so that we can share these verses and sharpen each other, sort of like the way we do in the book of Titus, where older women are instructed to help the younger women in the Lord along in their journey.
You know, I think that when you read the Bible, you're going to start seeing all sorts of application of these verses that you probably never even thought of.
Yeah.
You may know, oh yeah, the Bible will help me have a good spiritual life and it'll help me grow in Him. Well, it also has a lot of good words to say about healthy living and how you should be really going through life to have the possibly most strongest, healthiest life. You
yeah.
know, I think of, like, for instance, Daniel, when he and his friends were taken away to Babylon and they wanted to feed them all of this rich food, all of these wines and all of that. And it would have broken their dietary laws that they were wanting to obey to remain holy to God.
Yeah.
And so they said, can we just eat vegetables and drink water? And they said, well, no, because you'll get weak and all of this, and then you're not going to be of good use, and I'll get in trouble with Nebuchadnezzar for that. But they said, please, let's just try it. So they tried it for, I think, a week or 2 weeks, and they actually were in better health and they were in better shape afterwards than all the other captives.
And the point of that story is they were not going to bow to the king's dinner table. They were not going to sacrifice their spiritual life, their holiness before God, to a king who wanted them to defile themselves with his pagan food and his, you know, pagan practices. Now, eventually, they would be required to bow down in front of a giant statue. And guess what? They didn't do that either. And for their obedience, they were thrown into the fire, but God. And
yeah.
I love that story. And that's where Jesus shows up, a pre-incarnate Christ, and he's in the fire with them. Mm. What a beautiful testimony. And I think, Nancy, as we look at the Bible together as women, as we gather around these tables, what we see, just as in the book of Daniel, when we see Jesus in the fire, we see Jesus in every scripture, every book of the Bible. It is just amazing. Even from the very earliest pages of Genesis, those first few words point to Christ. And of course, the book of Revelation point to the time that will come.
And, you know, even many of those dietary laws point to Jesus, point to that time to come. Think about, for instance, all of the times, the festivals, Passover, the week of unleavened, feast of unleavened bread, where they wanted all yeast removed from their house.
Yeah.
And then think of how Jesus applied that with the disciples about how sin is yeast. And he said, beware the yeast of the Pharisees, because it looks innocent. It may look like it might be helpful, but it will spread through the entire lump of dough and infect basically the whole thing. So it's interesting how you look at the symbolism is there in Jesus behind many of the things that they were told to do or not do, to eat, to avoid, things like that. So it's really an interesting study if you ever want to take that up.
Well, ladies, we hope you do that, and we hope that this has blessed you today. Again, we brought up kind of a touchy topic. You know, these essential oils, not bad. I've got some on right now. I know that many of you might be too. Again, when it turns to the spiritual, when it turns about chakras and healing your energy centers, that's when we need to say, okay, not for me, but the oils themselves, just fine. All right, we're going to leave it here for now. Hey, when we come back, though, we are going to be opening up our Bibles to 1 Peter. Connie Stampfel is going to be with us. She's our teacher, and we're going to do that when we come back.
We equip women around the world to nurture others with the Word. Want to partner with Naomi's Table? Consider being a business partner. Details at naomistable.com. It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back, ladies, to the program today. And this is our segment two where we do our Bible study. So if you have a Bible or a computer, go to 1 Peter. And we're going to start in, 1 Peter chapter 1, right around 13, verse 13 there. So you can find that while we welcome our teacher, Connie Stampfel. Connie, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
I'm glad you are here. And you know, ladies, Connie has put together some beautiful study notes. You can find those at naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab. And you can use those to lead your own discussion. We're happy to help out. We're going to expand a little bit more today. This one is, in my text, it says, subtitle, Be Holy. So we're going to get down to some practical tips here. And this is really a key that we need to focus on today. It says this in 13, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Wow, a lot there, Connie.
Yes, and here Peter is getting very practical because he's been telling us in the other lessons we've done just the wonders and the glories and the privilege of being God's chosen child and what's that salvation that we will finally be fully realized when we see Jesus Christ when he appears. So Peter in verse 13 says, therefore, so that means in light of everything I've all just said, he has some instructions for the readers of his letter, and it says, preparing your minds for action. And that means really getting ready to obey. And that's obedience takes a mindset of wanting to obey. And it says, and being sober-minded or self-controlled or different forms. Really, the Greek means to be free from every form of excess, spiritual, mental, physical, anything. And so you're going to be in control. And then the main point here is to set your hope fully on the grace. And so that's where it starts. We keep coming back to the living hope of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. Our salvation is sure. And so we set our hope fully on we're going to be with him one day and have the inheritance of heaven. And we've got this assurance of scripture. It's been pointing to him and that he has realized for us. And so that's where we are. We're setting our hope on Jesus Christ. And then it says that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so again, fully realized when Jesus returns, when he comes back. Verse 14, Peter says, oh, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. And so we get a glimpse. These might have been Gentile believers mostly because they didn't know God's way. They didn't know him. They didn't know what his law said. And so Peter's saying, because you've been born again and set apart by the Holy Spirit to be God's child, and the Holy Spirit is working in your lives, you can't be as you were before. You're a new creature, and you don't want to do those same things. Yeah. And we've talked, I think, Amy, before about how as we grow in the Lord, sin becomes very apparent to us.
Oh,
and
yes.
We're the Holy Spirit is quick to point them out, I think.
Yeah, have you ever heard the analogy of, you know, we live up here in the northern area where we have snow quite a bit of the time of the year. And you, if you put that in a clear glass and let it melt, you know, it looks white. It looks fine when it's snow, but you shine a flashlight in there. And as it melts, you can really start to see some things. Well, that flashlight could be, you know, the light of Christ revealing to us, wow, we're really not all that we thought we were.
Correct. And so we so need the Holy Spirit and to depend on God, trust in God to help us work on those things. Verse 15 tells us, but as he who called you is holy, so you also be holy in all your conduct or all you do and say. And the reason is in verse 16, since it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. That's from Leviticus. That's what God the Father told to the children of Israel. They didn't have the Holy Spirit to help them, but we do. And so God's purpose for us is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And so if we are born again, he is working in our lives to make us holy.
Mm.
And again, that's something for Peter's readers to remember. And there's something about knowing what God's word says and desiring what God wants. And then when we sin and fall or the Holy Spirit convicts us of something, turning again to Christ and saying, help me with this.
Yes. We can't do it on our own, can we?
Not at all.
No.
But it's a beautiful thing because then Peter's going to remind them of who God the Father is and just how they've been saved. Verse 17, he says, and if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. This temporary time when we're on earth, God the Father is a perfectly just judge, and he calls sin, sin. And so we can't hide it from him, and we need to acknowledge and actually desire to please him.
Mm.
And then going on, we have a further reason to desire to be holy, because Peter writes in verse 18, knowing that you've been ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. Again, a point that all people are sinful and we don't do God's will. And then it says, not with perishable things such as silver or gold. And so here again, we've talked about what the world values, the treasures of the world. It says, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. And actually, we need to acknowledge the precious blood of Christ is of infinite worth because he's God's son. And that's what purchased our redemption. And when we think about what he endured and endured God's wrath for our sin, why would we want to sin?
It's so offensive to God when we do. And I'm so thankful that he gives us that gift of repentance that we can turn from it.
Yes, we are forgiven. And so, yes, we do fall and we stumble, but we turn again to him and he picks us up, dusts us off and gets us on our feet again.
Yes.
And that's good. And then verse 20 tells us he was foreknown. That's Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was foreknown. He was chosen just like we were. It says before the foundation of the world. So God the Father's plan always was to save us in Christ. And then it says, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. And we were just talking about how the scriptures and Old Testament pointed to Christ, but now it's fully known because of he's come and because of people that are able to preach the fullness of the gospel. So in last times, again, for the sake of you, again, Peter's reminding them, this is all for you, what God the Father has done. And it says, through him and who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. And we come back around to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And then that's the source of our hope. That's the source of our faith. That's what we're looking forward to. And Peter, again, has been telling us again and again, and this is he's making sure we really, really, really get it. This is what God has done. And our response, really, Amy, I think has to be thanksgiving.
Oh, I think so, too. We know we don't deserve it. But he loves us so much that he's willing to give himself as a sacrifice, as a ransom for our sinfulness. And I'm so thankful. And I know that it's only through him that I could even have this day to even speak.
Yes. Yes. And so once we come to know that and we're in relationship with Jesus Christ, then we actually desire to be like him.
Yes. And it's a beautiful thing I want to read from, and this is in the study guide, ladies. This is, we talk about Naomi's table being a Titus chapter 2 ministry. So I want to read this little bit of it here, because we always talk about the part where older women in the faith help the younger women in the faith understand the reason for the faith and walking in holiness. And it says this starting in verse 11 in chapter 2. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. And it goes on there, but that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what grace does. It teaches us all these things that we should for sure can't do. I mean, we don't have that in our innate nature, do we, Connie?
Oh, no. And truly, the Christian life is a life of growth. Yes, it is. And we're still growing, right, ladies? All right. Well, Connie, thank you so much for being here. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Nancy and I will talk a little bit more about this and talk about those practical tips about holiness that we all need to be reminded of from time to time. So we'll be right back.
Naomi's Table is 100% listener supported, serving women around the world thanks to our listeners' generous gifts. Go to our website, naomistable.com, and click on the support button. And thank you for equipping us to equip women. The food is ready. Now, back to Naomi's Table.
Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. We are in our Bible study right now, and we're on lesson number 7 here today. And this is one that Connie did in 1 Peter, and you just heard her go through 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. Lifestyle of Holiness is the title of this one. And Nancy, I just want to start by saying holiness is something that the modern church seems to have, you know, as a trend anyway, forgotten by and large.
Yeah. It's all raise your hand, say the sinner's prayer. Oh, great, you're good to go, and you are saved, you're on your way. And people get the false impression from that, that they can just continue with their lives as they are.
Yeah.
And you think about, like, for instance, Vince and Lori Williams,
yes.
Who, Lori, of course, very active in this show, in the Google Plus room and all. And she has written a book with her husband called Falsified, and they actually have a ministry called that as well. And they were serving in ministry in a mega church for years that they had done that and never realized they weren't really saved.
Yeah, they'd heard part of the gospel, but they, you know, the pastor in this mega church, very well known, never talked about repentance, never talked about holiness, really not very much on sin either. So, yes, it's a wonderful ministry and book, and we've got that linked up on our website. Holiness, wow. It's one of those things, Nancy, that we need to really focus on, because Jesus had a lot to say about it. Peter had a lot to say about it. Paul had a lot to say about it. They all did.
Yeah.
So it must have been pretty important to them.
We are supposed to be set apart. The Israelites, they were selected as God's chosen people, set apart from the rest of the world. And now we, through Jesus Christ, are selected to be set apart. The ecclesia, the called out ones, that's who we are.
Yeah.
And when you think about what that means, so we're set apart, we've been given the Holy Spirit, and he's in us, working within us. Remember Philippians 1:6, I believe it is. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. So we have the Holy Spirit working within us, and we are being transformed. If you are indeed truly saved, you are changing.
Yeah.
You are no longer your former self. I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
Yeah.
And the one thing that Connie was talking about there that really jumped out at me the most is, okay, so we know better than to go back to our old ways.
Yes. There is a proverb about a dog returning to its vomit. And if you're eating
lunch right now,
yeah, pardon me, but it's in there. And we need to remember that we are not to return to our old horrible, icky ways, if you will. We are to have eternal eyes. And if you're looking at holiness, set your hope on future reward. You know, with a prepared mind, be self-controlled. One of the verses that you're going to see in your study guide is Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, talking about holiness, talking about how grace gives you that power to be holy, to walk away from sin.
And you know what? It sounds really easier said than done.
Yeah.
I know how tempting sin is, and believe me, I am the first to admit I do return sometimes to my sin.
Well, and we can all arm wrestle you for that, Nancy, because we do that. We, because of our flesh nature that now lives with our holy nature through the Holy Spirit, it's constantly warring.
Paul himself said, I am the least of apostles and the greatest of sinners. So we can all argue with him over which one of us is worse when we get there. But the fact of the matter is we have no excuse. We don't. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the Word. We have every reason to even avoid those temptations. I think of 1 Corinthians 10:13, mm-hmm. that he will not tempt us beyond what we can stand. And even when it gets that strong, he will always give us a way out.
Yeah.
And we so often look for the excuse to do something rather than look for the way out.
Yeah, and he does give us a way out. I want to talk for just a second, kind of going back to the beginning of this segment, we were talking about the idea of cheap grace, and Connie touched on that a little bit too. Cheap grace is really a heresy from the very beginning of the early church. It was condemned many, many times by many councils. It tells you that, you know, Jesus already forgave everything, which is true. So it doesn't matter what you do in this life, because he forgives you, and you can just live as you wish to live, because he wants to give you the desires of your heart, all that stuff. That is a heresy called antinomianism, and that's something you can say that word, or you can get a little more simple and just call it cheap grace. And that is one of those things, ladies, that we ought not to believe, because once we are saved, now our works don't get us into heaven. We say that every program, but we do need to become holy, allow the Holy Spirit to transform us. And of course, we can't be holy without the help of the Holy Spirit. But again, the choices we make, the hours of influence, the idea that we need to walk on that narrow path.
Yeah. And you think about how priceless that blood of Christ is.
Yeah.
Every single drop of it was earned by his sweat, his torment, his torture. And you think about how priceless that blood is. And when you sin without thinking about it, with just taking that blood for granted, you're really showing contempt for it, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
You're saying, I hate it. It's meaningless to me. It's worthless. You know, it's cheap. And that blood is not cheap. It is priceless. And if you appreciate how much it cost for you to be saved, then maybe you might think twice.
Yes. You know, one of the things that I sometimes return to is just a way of thinking that I've already been healed of, and the Lord has forgiven me when I've begged him and repented. But that's the idea of self-centeredness. I can totally become self-absorbed into my own day, really kind of shutting the rest of the world off and just doing what I want to do, rather than, knowing in my heart, of course, I was purchased at a price, and my life isn't my own anymore. So why aren't I being more generous with my time, my finances? Why am I still holding on sometimes? And that's the thing that I have to all the time. I just need to take that to the Lord each new day. And he's doing such a work in me about that. But every once in a while, I'm not thinking about him. I'm doing my own thing. And I get that little need to wake up, if you will. So we all have things that we go back to, and we all need to recognize that's our old life that died with Christ.
You know, as events are unfolding in the Mideast, as we have now pestilence spreading throughout the entire world through people with Ebola even, taking planes places, so we have and all the people coming across the border, they have all of these things that are untreatable by antibiotics. They are antibiotic resistance that is being spread throughout the entire country now as they distribute these people in every single state. So we have to look. It's not just tornadoes this time of year that we have to worry about. It's not just floods. It's not just hurricanes. It's not just earthquakes. There is so much going on in the world that we can seriously consider Jesus could very well return. With all the prophecies being fulfilled in the Middle East right now, Jesus could very well return in the next 1 to 5 years.
Well, and we don't know. And again, Nancy, that all of those things that are coming in, he predicted those things.
He said,
look for the signs, and here's what they are. And he gave them some practical things to look for. And we are to look at the times. You know, a lot of people may have heard, well, that's really none of my business. No, that's not what the Bible says. So we need to, whatever you hear, remember, that's somebody's opinion. We put put that aside and say, well, what does Scripture really say about that?
Here's why it should be your business, though. If he is coming back mm-hmm. next year or next month, or
we
don't know. He could, you know, he comes like a thief, you know, so
right.
you don't know. But if he is coming back next year and you have this knowledge that his return is soon, but you don't know the exact day, that changes how you live.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden, I don't need those Packer tickets. I don't need all of these clothes in my closet. I need to start divesting myself of all of the worldly goods that I have and shedding everything that holds me back. And Paul talks about that. I can't remember where, but he talks about leaving behind, shedding yourself of absolutely every weight that holds you back, everything that's holding you to this earth.
Amen, Nancy. Not only are we to change what we live for, but whom we live for. And that ought to give us some things to think about today. Ladies, I hope this conversation blessed you, and I'd love to have you come and download all of the podcasts, the separate Bible study notes, and you can do that at naomistable.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, some final scripture verses to close out this program. Hope you can stick around.
We equip women around the world to nurture others with the Word. Want to partner with Naomi's Table? Consider being a business partner. Details at naomistable.com. No junk food served here. Now, back to Naomi's Table.
Oh, welcome back to the table, ladies. We are going to close out this program with some scripture, and Nancy's got her Bible open up to the New Testament. I see. Nancy, where are you today?
We're going back to one of our favorites, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Perfection. Boy, can we attain that on our own? Nope, we cannot. We thankfully have a Holy Spirit who does that for us. And all we need to do is obey, trust, and love him well. Ladies, spend some time with him today at his feet and in his word. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.